Hello and welcome to the Success Secret Podcast with your host Hussein Talib. I am excited to introduce you to a series of conversations with some of the most successful and inspiring individuals from various industries. My aim is to dive into the stories behind their success and explore the knowledge, strategies, habits, mindsets, and wisdom that have propelled their success. Each episode of the Success Secret Podcast will feature a different guest who will share their unique journey, the challenges they faced, and the lessons they have learned along the way. I will also be covering topics from entrepreneurship and innovation to leadership and personal development. Whether you are an inspiring entrepreneur, a seasoned business professional, or just someone looking to improve your life, the Success Secret Podcast is for you. My goal is to bring you valuable insights and inspiration that will help you achieve your own success in business and life. So get ready to learn and be inspired. The Success Secret Podcast starts now. In this episode, I have with me a special guest. We are going to be talking about how to take risks and transform your life. How to take your story and transform it into something positive and achieve what it is that you are looking to do or achieve. My guest in this episode of the Success Secret Podcast, his name is Ken Stearns. He's a writer, podcast creator, a host, a lyricist, and a photographer. He is a retired international insurance executive that quit to pursue his dream of traveling and meeting new people and hearing their stories. Mm-hmm. He is the host of The Jar Life, a unique podcast that focuses on real people and real conversations. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hussein, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Awesome to have you here with us. So, Ken, first of all, because this is called the Success Secret Podcast, and through your experience, your journeys, traveling, and all that, you're meeting a lot of people on your own podcast, I guess. So what do you think success is, and what do you see or other definition of success might get right about it or might get wrong about it?
I like the, there's an old definition of success. I think try to remember, it might be Earl Nightingale or Dale Carnegie. But it's something along the lines of, you know, the progression towards a realization of a worthy goal. You know, so success, you know, by that definition, it's, you know, you're not successful when you get there. You know, you're successful by being in pursuit and, you know, being in pursuit of something worthy to do as a goal. And that, you know, can define success for people. Very simple. For me, I like it because it's quite simple. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to create something. You're just in the, you know, you're in a progressive state of achieving a worthy goal, something worth doing. And that could be motherhood. You know, it could be a good stay-at-home mom. You know, you could be successful at that because you're doing something very worthy. And you can certainly measure it and see it happen. And I think people get out, I think success becomes a financial thing or a title thing. You know, it's achievement based a lot, and it's things that a society places sometimes value on, which may be a little bit incongruent with our natural, our what is naturally success, right?
Yeah, a lot of people connect success with monetary things, yeah. And material things. Yeah, that's a very common idea wherever you go in the world, and that's good, like goal to put yourself. But sometimes you have to put some time into it. It does not like just come and poof right in the second day.
Yeah. I mean, Hussein, you've talked to so many people. I would imagine you, like me, we've seen lots of successful people, very high titles, working for beautiful companies, high positions, earning more money than they can consume, you know, reasonably. And yet they're unhappy. And, you know, so success is definitely not, you know, if success equals not being happy, I think you got to change your definition of success and, you know, find a place where it's going to, you know, ultimately it's going to be coming where you're at a beautiful place with a great relationship with yourself and the people around you. That's a successful life.
Yeah.
Right. Is you have, you know, great relationships. It's what we're here for. I've had a fun journey. You know, I kind of joke, I'm a well-seasoned Midwestern kid, right? And I'm sure in your part of the world, you've got those little spots where you know where somebody's from, right? If from a certain part of the country, a certain part of the town, it means something. And for sure, a Midwestern kid is got those kind of farmland traditional values. And, you know, well-seasoned means I'm old. I've seen some stuff. And, you know, I've been really fortunate. I had a great insurance career. I did something, you know, and I think which is encouraging for people listening. I did something a little crazy when I was younger. I answered an ad to go overseas and pursue a job. And I, you know, and I, for whatever reason, I followed up on that. And before I knew it, I was in Asia. I was in Hong Kong with my family. And I had left California, packed up my bags, put everything I owned in a storage locker, you know, put all our gardening tools and all my car tools and all these weird things that you own, right? And you put your whole life into a storage. It's a really interesting experience. And starting over somewhere else, right? Learning everything new. And, you know, that was an amazing career. And it was a risk taking. And it was definitely, you know, something I would encourage people to do. There was no bad outcome. You know, the bad outcome was me coming back after 2 years with tremendous experience and, you know, maybe plus or minus some money, but an amazing experience. And what would have happened? As it turned out, I stayed 20 years. And I ended up living in 5 countries, working all across Asia for different insurance companies, mostly insurance, a little bit of tech in there. But, you know, there was a point where I was very entrepreneurial. They would send me to different countries and work on different companies. And the job was to turn the business around. And I had been doing that for so many, you know, for so many times, for so many departments and teams and countries and companies. I was getting to the point where it's like, I need to do this. Like, I should do this for myself. You know, when's me time, yeah, right?
That's a good idea. Like, you are in a place or the experience that you serve so many people.
Yeah.
You grow their businesses. Like, why don't I do this for my own?
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and the reason is because I'm paid a stupid amount of money to do this because these are ongoing businesses and, you know, a small change can meet a big impact. So, you know, they're willing to risk the money or invest it and to see if I can do it. And to do it on yourself is or for yourself, you're starting from zero. And I think many of us, we don't know how to get started, you know, how to start. And even, you know, when we start, sometimes it's a little bit herky jerky and we may fail, you know, and stop and go back to what we're doing, you know, call it a fail, but it's really just a learning, you know, you just have another learning experience and you're getting prepared for that next time. You know, I just was just looking really in my own heart for that chance. And I was given, I had a couple of really crazy jobs. And this is also something I think looking back on my experience, I think for people to remember, I had jobs that didn't allow for any quiet time, really. You know, and I'm sure there's listeners, you're in that job and the emails are coming and you're preparing for next year, next quarter. You've got something due today, something due next week. You know, you're trying to manage people. It can keep your mind so busy. And that's nice because life goes by and you've got your family and work keeps you kind of, you know, really engaged. But it's also, there's no me time. There's no personal development time. And I do realize that I was giving of myself, but I was not receiving. You know, there was no one there to fill my cup. And it was a statement that a guy made when I was in Indonesia. And it was a crazy job. And this guy had been doing it for 20 years. And, you know, we used to have some real intimate conversations about just life and just about what it's like to be the giver, right? The person doing this. And he looked at me one time and he said, Ken, who fills your cup? Who fills our cup? Because we were lamenting about how we do things for people. And, you know, we're in the middle of this giant sales team and this massive, crazy, you know, overarching administrative team on top, you know, and we're in the middle, we're these middle guys. And that stuck with me. You know, that really burned a hole in my head. Nobody fills your cup except you sometimes. And I'm sure so many listeners, there are times when you're the only one who can fill your cup. And you got to get those crazy thoughts out of your head, you know, the bad thoughts. And you got to realize, dude, you are the one who is going to fill your cup. You have to take care of yourself. No one's coming. No one's coming, right?
Yeah. So what you're talking about here is like very important. Like
If you are a person on the side that always educates other people, always giving other people, whether your time, which is the most important asset that we have as humans, right? We cannot get back our time back. This is very important. And our experiences, our knowledge to other people. And like you mentioned, our personal and own growth. And if we are like not having this time to learn from other people that has that than other experiences that we might learn from, this is a huge to have this kind of mindset or mentality that you can, like as you mentioned, fill your own cup and keep going. I have this hunger to do whatever it is that you do.
Yeah, to find and to find what that is. And shortly after those conversations, I ended up with a different, they moved me to another company, another country. And that job was 30% of the previous job. So immediately I was looking for stuff to do for myself. And it's kind of crazy. It's not what I bought or what I did personally. I think it's more the lesson for people to take away, which is I decided I needed to do something. And I, this crazy idea came to my head. I want to play guitar. I've tried to play guitar twice in my life. I've owned two guitars. I don't own those anymore. Those guitars are gone somewhere. But I decided I want to play guitar. So I went to the store to buy a guitar. And my internal dialogue was two things. I'll take lessons for 2 years and I won't quit for 2 years. And I'll make a judgment at the end of the 2 years if this is what I'm supposed to do. Why is this still in my head? I'm 52 years old and I'm still thinking I should play guitar. I got to kill this idea, but I'm going to give it its justice. And you know, a funny thing happens when you do commit, like in the universal language, right, of this energy that you put out there, which is I'm this person, I'm doing this thing. I'm going to find a teacher. I'm going to try this for 2 years. I told my daughter, I went to the guitar store, you know, I'm intentional. And you know, man, after that, the universe just pointed me in the right direction after that. I met a guy in the guitar shop, beautiful words. I was asking him advice, which guitar to get, buy the red one. He was like an angel. I'm not really sure that guy actually existed. When I look back, it's almost like it's someone who was put there for me to see, and only I could see him. And he was only there for, he was there that day. He was walking around playing guitars. He wasn't there for that. I was supposed to meet him and I was supposed to say something to him. And I mean, I thoroughly believe it. Sounds kind of crazy, but it's real. So he looked at me and he goes, I asked him, this is who I am. What advice do you have for buying a guitar? Buy the red one.
What does that mean? Red one, it's very distinguished, I guess. So,
and he didn't mean the color.
Yeah.
He meant the one, the red one you see. So he was, and then he said, the one you see across the crowded room, the one you want to hold, the one you don't want to let go. And I immediately knew which guitar. Like, I was like, that was it. I was done. I was like, thank you very much. Turned around, went out, grabbed my guitar on the wall and walked out and bought it.
Like some kind of years, gut feeling. Yeah.
Gut feeling, right? He knew, I mean, it's very strange the words he said to me. But if I look back prophetically now about this advice for life, for anybody listening, you would buy the red one. That's the one you buy, the one you can't take your eyes off of, the one, even in a crowded room, you still see it, right? And that kind of turning point led me to meet a guitar teacher. My commitment, right, to the universe and my commitment to myself and just putting it out there, planting the flag and saying, I'm going to do it. I met the guitar teacher. That guitar teacher got me back to writing a book. The book led me to the idea of the podcast. And the podcast put me, you know, on this road, this journey back home, you know, out of Asia. I came back last January, bought a van. And on April, I started a journey to 111 cities, interviewing 444 people. I'm about three quarters of the way through, and I'm in, yeah. And so, and I'm doing it in people's homes. So I'm driving around the country in a van, rolling up to people's houses, get out, get my jar full of questions and come into their house. And we record a session. And it's unique because Hussein, the questions are really, there's only 12 topics. Mm. Your yesterdays, your todays, and your tomorrows, kind of that battlefield of your mind, acceptance, forgiveness, compassion, something between you and another person, a human skill set. The next part is love, karma, and service. So have a loving heart, treat people like you want to be treated, and go out to the world with a service mind, a service heart, and then faith, hope, and prayer. And so this is, these are just 12 top, 12 chapters from my book. And I use those to create the 444 questions. And I took all my money and I have put it all on, you know, I put it all on the table on, and I bet on Ken, you know, I bet on Ken, not on the house. I bet on myself. And like I said, so, and it's been an interesting journey. And from it, I've met so many incredible people, heard amazing stories of overcoming life and just the things that people go through, and giving a chance to become a, you know, I'm a story collector now, or a story, I don't know if I'm a story collector or a story hunter.
That's a great description or a title, because a lot, like as humans, even when we are kids, since we are kids, a lot of us like to hear certain stories, I guess, from our elderlies, like grandmother or grandfather.
Yes.
And as we grow up, we sometimes don't see it, but we do want to hear a story, right? Whether it's a bad ending or a good ending. So we want to hear a story. So what do you think one of the things that, or the stories that was, that really had an impact on you, that happened to you personally, or story that you have heard and had an impact on you personally?
It's been, you know, early on, I have to say, Hussein, and maybe for you too, you know, some of the early stories really stuck with me. And, you know, some of the ones along the, and of course, some along ones along the way. I've heard a lot of stories of trauma. And I think once you get past the fact that people experience a lot of trauma growing up, and, you know, you don't realize the person next to you in the grocery store, in the bank, you know, at the gas station, you know, we never know what people have gone through. You never know what they're going through at the moment. I think that's one of the biggest things to take away is how much people that we interact with daily are really struggling. You know, I think one of the, just so many inspirational stories, you know, along the way. And I think it's difficult for me to call out one story, you know, and to say, this is a lesson I've learned. I think the way I'd answer it is the collective, the ability of humanity, the strength of humanity is probably the most inspiring thing that I've seen. That people overcome the most shocking childhoods that you could imagine. And they roll all of that up, not everybody, but the people that I've interviewed, they roll all that up into a backpack of life experience and they strap it on and they own it. The craziest thing is nobody wants to change their life, Hussein. I don't, you know, sometimes I don't understand it, right?
This is like, it's our mind. I think this is the comfort zone, what's called the comfort zone. And because we know if we are going to do things that we have not done before, it's going to take a lot of our energy, our time, maybe our money. So we don't want to risk things. We want to stay in a place of safety, which is sometimes this place of safety that I have discovered. It might be good and it might not be good. So
things. I think this is a really interesting part. Change, you know, people won't even change things that happen to them if they had the power. So listeners to the podcast wanting to change and wanting to you know, break away from corporate or to do something, you know, maybe they're younger and they want to, you know, they're starting to plan what they want to do with their career. I think, look, change is the biggest impact to my career. The keys to success for me were change and risk taking. Willing to change careers, willing to change directions, not stupidly, not without thought. Definitely, I was always very intentional. But when it came to making the risk, I made the decision to do stuff. And I think that's one of my lucky kind of gifts is decision making and risk taking, and then being able to, you know, you're always going to land on your feet. Funny thing, right? I mean, so anybody considering doing something, do it. You know, of course, plan it out and plan for, you know, some contingencies. But when you make the decision, don't have a plan B. There is no plan B. Just go. You'll figure it out.
this is very strong statement, because a lot of things, especially like, for example, you are an adult, you know, you have some certain things that a lot of people that wanna, let's say, take the basic necessities for their lives, like the food and the rent and these kind of things. So, like, do you think that these fears are justifiable, or like, as you mentioned, it is something that someday, whether it's a close day or like near in the future, they will have figured things out?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, there is some practicalities to life, Hussein, right? I mean, you know, you need to, like you said, you have to be intentional and you have to think about it. So if you're going to do something, you know, you do some financial analysis. When will the money run out, right? If the worst case happens, you have a worst case scenario. The money runs out in 6 months. And, you know, will you know that at month four? And maybe at month four, you have to make plans. You know, that's part of your plan. That's part of the plan. It's not really the plan B. You know, plan B is to go, you know, quit everything and go back to doing whatever you were doing, or go do something else. What I mean by plan B is don't have a back door you can jump out, because you'll never commit. You'll never commit to the what you're going to do if you have a plan B that's like there. You know, I didn't have a plan. I don't have a plan B. I mean, I had no plan. I had my plan B was whatever came up in front of me. You know, I would react. And the mental health today was my, you know, not even a plan B. It's just an add-on. So, yeah, I think it's risky. You have to think through. You have to plan what you're going to do. Make the best plans. Have those kind of adjustments, right? You don't quit. You adjust your kind of work direction. You know, you get momentum going, and then you change, right?
So I guess we have to be our own leader. Like, we have to develop our own leadership skills, I guess, because as we know, as a leader, not only takes the, let's say, employees or whoever he's leading to the hole. He's the first one to discover the hole, I guess. So, we have to be a leader for our own good, I think, right? Does this be a good description for things, maybe?
Yeah, it is. It is self-leadership. And, you know, it's good to have people to talk to as well. You know, it's an interesting transition. One of the things that I probably missed was that mentorship, right? You know, and making sure that you've got someone to talk to, more than one person. You know, you always want to be checking your ideas so you can be your own leader. You ultimately have to make the decisions. I mean, it's a very uncomfortable place for some people. And, you know, for some people, they're not, you know, it's not in their DNA to do this, to be on your own. And, you know, there's sometimes when you're truly, literally on your, you know, I am on my own sometimes, like terribly on my own. and waiting for people to come back to you for something with work or something. And it's a lonely, you know, your head could really mess you up if you're not in a good place, right? It'd be very difficult. So you want to be in a good place mentally, emotionally. You need to have some decent finances to invest, you know, to hold while you do it. Or you start in, you know, you started come home at 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and you work till midnight on your job. I mean, I wrote my whole book at night. Mm. You know, I wrote the whole book at night over a couple of years. So, you know, anything's, you can do it if you've got the, if you sit down and just put in a couple hours a day and invest in yourself. I think, Hussein, the biggest thing I can say for people listening that want to get into it is be intentional, right? I mean, think about what you're going to do and start to think hard and deep. I had 6 whiteboards drilled up on my hallway for 2 years outside my bedroom, between my bedrooms and my kitchen.
Whoa.
So you imagine that's like about, you know, it's about 15, it's not quite 15, it's about 15 feet of whiteboard. And I would just spend every day, every morning with a cup of coffee, with an old sock in one hand, you know, to wipe it off, and to write and to write. And, you know, you plan and you think and you talk and you call people up and you share your ideas. And eventually it just becomes a natural thing you're going to do. Mm. It becomes what, it, you know, it's natural and it's expected. It's part of, you know, even the universe is pushing you, you know, it's time, it's ready, and you'll feel it.
Yeah. Like, and I mentioned, it's time, like you work in your book late at night. So like we have 24 hours in a day, but we choose sometimes not to actually work certain hours. We choose to rest and maybe watch TV and maybe keep postponing things until, I don't know, maybe it's too late, I guess. So hopefully it's not too late for the people who want to do whatever that they are dreaming of doing, instead of dreaming, like, start doing, to not regret
start doing it.
Yeah. So do you have regrets yourself?
No regrets. And I think to your real quick on your, is it too late? Look, I was 52 and I picked up guitar. I wrote songs. I actually got I published my own songs. So I never thought it, when I was 50, I didn't think I would have music on iTunes, right? I didn't think that was never going to happen. And it wasn't even in the realm of my thoughts. So we have no idea where, when you do something, like you walk into a guitar store and you ask somebody, which guitar should I get? You know, 2 years later, you're going to be on iTunes. Be careful what you do. You know, you could be an artist. You walk into a studio to go get your first set of acrylics.
Yeah.
And you're going to be showing your stuff on Instagram in 6 months and asking people to buy it. Any, you know, the most amazing things can happen if when you start and you just commit and you tell the world you're doing it. And the power of self-proclamation, it's an amazing, and people will look at you. You know, a third of the people are going to say, well, I'll stop that by tomorrow. You know, that'll be done on Saturday. One third of the people will be like, Hussein, you can do it. That's great. I'm proud of you. You know, and one third of the people will be watching to see what you do.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, and you'll have two thirds of the people cheering you on as soon as you start showing your little vulnerable, show your stuff. I put my music up on iTunes because I sucked so bad that I thought, I really have to document this. I need to put this on just for my own humility. And no one ever said my songs, you know, the songs are nice. The words are beautiful. And the guitar is lovely. I'm not playing it, but my voice is so terrible. But it's my song. It's my music. Yeah. And for me, it's amazing. And I just love the fact that I'm confident enough in my badness to be able to publish it and not care.
Like, it's amazing. Like, a lot of people think sometimes success comes in one night, and because a lot of people share their successes, but not a lot yes. of people, and very, very few share their failures. These failures along the way that made them reach success, right? So that's very important, and like personal and some kind of empathy around what you do and what you have and what you are passionate about to share things along your journey. I think, yeah, that's very good.
Yeah, I think, we have to be funny with ourselves too, Hussein, right? We have to, you got to make funny of yourself sometimes, you know, the good and the bad. I think it's difficult to always prop yourself up. Negative words have an impact, though. To make fun of yourself in a good way is okay. But even my own self, being careful with the words that I choose, because words have words have got power. You know, there's an experiment just on the words on power that a Japanese man did, where he had his students shout terrible words at a jar of water. Angry, terrible, negative words. And another jar, happy, beautiful words, encouragement. And when you froze the water, as it froze, the one with the terrible words had these very disorientated snowflakes. When they froze, they went into these really unequal patterns. But the jar of water with the beautiful words spoken to it had beautiful snowflake patterns. This is a famous Japanese experiment.
Really?
And it proves that water holds a memory.
Wow, that's amazing.
Because a memory is there, right? This angry words, and the words have a power, and there's a vibration to that. And the beautiful words have a vibration. So, as we talk to ourselves, you have to be careful about what you say. Talk to your children. You have to be encouraging and beautiful words, because you leave a mark at a cellular level.
Yeah.
And so even I think that's why we talk about thoughts. And, if words can do that, certainly thoughts have got that potential. So always be careful what you say. Yeah. Power in the words, man. Look it up. I don't remember that guy's name, but it's a Japanese water experiment.
Yeah.
Maybe Japanese. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an amazing example of things, because like we have to kind of sometimes filter what we are about to say and pause. It's yes. like understanding is like 2/3 is listening and 1/3 is talking, I guess. So maybe, I don't know, maybe it's even more listening than 2/3. So you have always to listen and absorb and then speak, like filter it twice and speak. So that's very important, I guess, like, because sometimes negative words come out without even realizing that it is negative words.
Yeah, yeah. I even said my guitar sucks, or my singing's terrible, right? And that's just I'm just affirming something. But actually, sometimes my voice getting better, I think. So even catch myself.
Well,
and I'm conscious of what I say.
Yeah, awesome. Well, where can people? It's a lovely conversation. Where can people get in touch with you, learn more about you, and what you do?
Yeah, it's thejar.live, Hussein, is the best place to go. So just www.thejar.live. It's got a little backstory for me. It's got a live map where I'm at, where the van is and where we're going. You can see the cities that we're headed to. And then the Facebook, all the links are there to go to find everything about what we're doing.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Ken. This was like a very joyful episode of the Success Secret podcast, a new perspective into life itself. So amazing. Thank you very much for being here today with me this episode.
Hussein, thank you for having me as a guest. Thank you very much.